Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Can you hear me? Godly correction. This is what we're talking about. Some say, well, judgment. You're judging. But godly correction is not judgment. We don't have the heaven or hell to put you in. But as men and women of God, there should be some guidelines that you adhere to. And there should be some godly counsel. Okay, let's get in our word, all right? And I'll read the scripture and let the scripture speak for itself. That's why I love the word of God. Amen. So we're coming to you out of the book of Psalms, and we will start at the first chapter. The first chapter. The way of the righteous and the end of the ungodly. Let's read this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. The ungodly are not so. Look, he made the comparison there. Now, he gave you the prerequisites, what it is for a righteous man, but he said, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. That's strong. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They're not even going to be together. They're going to be separated. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now let's go on to 2. The Messiah's triumph and kingdom. Chapter 2. Why do the nations rage? We see a lot of that going on right now. My God, it's been so much turmoil. Last 2 weeks, we have this in France. We had the killings in Dallas. It's just been killing, murder, killing, murder, killing, murder. But this is what he said. He said, why do the nations rage? And the people plot a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. They're trying to get together to see how they can solve this mess. And they're going against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. This is what God is saying. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my kings on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare and decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possessions. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. All right, kings and presidents and all these people in high authority, I just gave you the answer to your problem. If you would seek the Lord and stop trying to go on your own wisdom and knowledge how to solve these problems, why don't you fall on your face, presidents, and seek the Lord? He said, blessed, that means happy, or inward joy, it says, he said, is theirs. When you follow in the path of righteousness, you are blessed. Amen? An exclamation of strong emotion, that's what blessed me. It results from deep reflection on a subject. The psalmist paints a picture of the gravitational pull of evil. Think about it. When you're around a lot of bad company, sometimes you can feel that pull on you. Let's say God had delivered you from lust, and you find yourself being around the counsel of a lot of people in lust, or, you know, people that may not have your views as Christianity. You can feel that pull. It starts pulling you back. That's what that gravity. If you think of gravity, gravity pulls you. It'll suck you back out there. You see? So I wanted to bring this out about the righteousness of God. Because, like I said, we're in a day and time now that people don't want to hear about righteousness. You could come to them and teach on prosperity and how to get more stuff. Oh, they like to hear the blessed part. But I told you how to be blessed when you're following in the path of righteousness. God don't look at you as blessed when you're walking in the way of sinners. So we need to get some clarification here to the church. You're not blessed sinners when you're walking in the ungodly path. You may have a lot of natural stuff. You may have a lot of material things, but God do not look at you as blessed. Amen? What he was saying is hearken. We have to hearken to the temptations of Satan. He declares how dangerous it is not to hearken to the call of God. When God is bringing out his messages through the airwaves, through the churches, hearken to what God is saying. We're living in some perilous times. And I know you may say, well, we've been hearing, but have you noticed the escalation of all the trouble? All the calamities. Have you noticed there's in the last year, there's been an escalation of trouble. Amen. God wants to bring people unto him. He don't want no one to perish. But we have, as ministers of the gospel, we need to get this out to you. There's an urgency that's going forth. You have to hear this. Because no, tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Amen? And we see it all over the TV. We see all kinds of immorality. We see things just being pushed down our throat as Christians. Things that we don't even agree with. They telling us in high court, you're going to agree with it or else. They passing laws that we don't even favor to push their agenda. And it's an ungodly agenda. Saints, we have to pray. We really have to pray. It's praying time. Let me go on. There are three sorts of people, and this is what God was saying. He says Christ called himself wisdom. Wisdom, there are three sorts of persons here called by him, which is Jesus. You have simple ones. You have the sinners. They are fond of their simple notions of good and evil. Their simple prejudices against the ways of God, and flatter themselves in their wickedness. Okay? That's the sinners. That's the simple ones. And then you have the scorners. They're proud, jovial people that make a jest of everything. Scoffers at religion. You see that in our high courts now. That run down everything sacred and serious. Did you just see that? They just pass laws that support immoral lifestyles. They're scoffers. They're scoffing at the Almighty God and saying, your Bible don't really say it that way. Your Bible really meant this. They're scoffers. Then you have, he said, they're proud, jovial people that make a jest of everything. Scoffers at religion that run down everything sacred and serious. And then the third type of person is the fools. Those are the worst of the fools that hate to be taught and have a rooted dislike to serious godliness. Do you not see that? I would even say a lot of Hollywood entertainers, foolish. They don't want truth. They don't want godliness. They hate to be taught. He said they hate to be taught and have a rooted dislike of serious godliness. Let me tell you something. When you get on entertainment TV or anything and you really is a devout Christian, they hate you. They don't want you telling them the truth. So if you want to be on TV, you got to water down the gospel. You got to compromise with them because they don't want the truth. They dislike to serious godliness, okay? The precept is plain. Turn you at my reproof. We do not make a right use of reproof. We don't. Didn't I say that's what the word of God does? It reproves. It exhorts. and a rebuke. But the sinner and the ungodly, they don't want to hear no reproof. They want you to tell them that they're okay living in their sin. Don't judge me. No, what did I say? There's judgment and then there's correction. We don't come at you in judgment. We come at you with correction. You see what I'm saying? So let's not get everything so twisted. Because a fool's going to say, I don't want to hear it anyway. You can't tell me. You judging me. Because you do not want to repent from your sin. You don't want anyone to point out correction. You see? The Bible says a good father corrects his child. All right? When you love your children, you're going to correct them. So if you're calling yourself a Christian and you're doing things that's contrary to the Holy Book, the Bible, then God looks at you as a what? A rebellious child. Amen? He said, if we do not turn from evil to which is good, the promises are very encouraging. So when you turn from your ways, God do give you promises. Encouragement. He do give you benefits, promises, all that comes with righteous living. But don't think you're going to get it living any kind of way. Amen. So with that, I want to go to, yes, and I want to turn this over to, did you need something? What I wanted to do is just bring out some different judgments, because a lot of times people say, well, that was in the Old Testament, God don't judge. But yeah, he does. Let's look at Revelation 18, and I just want to bring that out, because, you know, I know that we like to say, well, he don't do that nowadays. God doesn't do that. But I'm going to coming to you from Revelation 9 through 16, 18, 9 through 16. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep. This is talking about Babylon. And lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. Talking about righteous judgment. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, and every kind of citron wood. Every kind, very wealthy. This particular, they were very wealthy. Scarlet, every kind of ivory, every kind of object. Precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, wow, cinnamon, incense, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you. Talking about the judgment of God. And you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who become rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. 1 hour. all it takes, God. God can blow on it. 1 hour. So this is what I'm saying. There's great cities that has fallen because they turned away from God. Egypt, Israel, and I'm just calling out a few. But we have to be careful, America, because we're following the same path as some of these great cities that once were. Egypt was once the world power. But when you turn your back from God and you say, we don't want God, then you open the door to other things, his judgment. When you take God out of your schools, out of your churches, and you out of your homes, I told you before, they did a survey, and this generation now, a lot of them don't even know anything about God. But yet they say they're spiritual, but it's not the godly spiritual. They're seeking occult things. They're Ouija boards. They want the power, but they don't want the Holy Ghost power. We have to pray. So I'm going to yield the floor. We have about 30 minutes left, and I just wanted to bring that out, and we'll yield the floor over to Bishop, and he's going to come to you and go as the Lord lead him. But you guys be blessed, and we'll be back next Saturday. So with that, I'm going to yield the floor over to Bishop. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for what Evangelist Montgomery brought out and the righteous judgment of God. And that's what we're dealing with on today. But I would like to say this in regard to that. When God is judging off of what he already knows. So it's really not so much of a judgment as it is an indictment of the things that has been done against him and against his people and even against nature. God is the type of God that he takes everything into consideration because he knows everything. And since he knows everything, it's not like he's just sitting guessing about stuff or he doesn't know exactly what's going on. He knows exactly what's going on, but what he actually does is he puts you on Front Street. He allows you to know exactly what's going on, and he tells you. So you can't, in other words, you can't lie or pull the wool over God or anything of God. That you can't do that. That doesn't work. But in this day and time, and since the beginning of time, that is what men have desired to do. They have desired to somewhat pull the wool over God's eye or think that God is not cognizant of what they're doing because he's not the type of God that just takes people out immediately. Now, in the Old Testament, if you know, you go through old scriptures, God would take out whole nations, take out whole peoples. Why? Because they were constantly going against the righteousness of God. And instead of God's righteousness, they would put in their righteousness. They would tell God what they want to do. And they would do what they wanted to do despite what God had spoken to them in reference to how they should live. But we're going to get into the Word of God because we're talking about God's righteous judgment. But one thing I want to bring out, and everything that was said, God brought out in Psalms 1 and 2, and we're going to go back over that and bring out some other things in reference to that, because what I want to bring out is God's desire is that people be blessed and that people prosper, but he wants them to prosper in reference to his righteousness and his prosperity. And as Evangelist Montgomery said earlier, God does not consider you to be blessed when you're lost. He does not consider you to be blessed when you're on your way to the lake of fire. He doesn't consider you to be blessed when everything is going wrong in your life, even though you might have a lot of money. God does not consider that to be blessing. What God considers to be blessing is when you are in right standing with Him, and when you are happy and joyous, and the things that you should have is being manifest in your life. I said should have. Some things that we have, we shouldn't have, because they pull us away from God and help to destroy us. And so God does not consider a person to be blessed when they're being destroyed. Now, that's one thing I want to say. God does not consider a person to be blessed when he's being destroyed. That's what the enemy does. The enemy will destroy you. So God does not consider you blessed when you're being destroyed. Now, I would say this. Now, there are some things that need to be broken down that they may be built up. Just like precious metals, just like jewelry, any precious metal, gold, silver, it has to be broken down, or the drought has to be taken out of it. And the way that that drought is taken out of it, or impurities, I'll say impurities, the way that impurities is taken out of gold and silver is through heat. I'll say that again. It's through heat. Because what that heat does, it separates the impurities from the pure gold or the pure silver. Now, what happens is that in that is that the impurities rise to the top. The whatever those impurities is might be dirt, might be some kind of scum or something that's in the gold that is not gold, or something that is in the silver that is not silver. What that heat and fire does is it burns it out. It brings it to the surface where it can be skimmed off. You hear what I said? Skimmed off. Sometimes in the life of individuals, or many times in the life of individuals, or in the life of nations, trouble comes that the impurities in you, when you're in Christ, the trouble or the heat comes in that the impurities that are in you will be skimmed off by the Spirit. And the only way that can happen is when God starts to, burn that drought out of you, or burn the impurities out of you. So that's why we're getting into the righteous judgment of God, and that's why it's righteous. Because his judgment, especially when it's to his people, is to bring the good things up and to cause them to be righteous in the eyesight of God. Now, we're talking about Psalms 1 and Psalms 2, in which we're talking about the righteousness of God, but we're also talking about fruit also. Now, fruit is something that comes out of a tree, okay? It comes out of a particular vine. It comes out of something. A fruit tree, it can still be a fruit tree, an apple tree, peach tree, cherry tree, or whatever tree that might be. But when you're looking at that tree, you might not see any fruit, but the fruit is there. It's there, but it has to come out. And that's what God does in us. He brings the fruit out of us, and when it comes out, it brings glory to God. People can, they can eat of your fruit, just like you can eat of the fruit of an apple tree or a peach tree or a cherry tree. But you can only eat that when it's ripe, when it's ready, when it comes out. When it comes out of you. Now, it was a particular passage of scripture that was brought out in Psalm 1, and I want to kind of bring it out a little bit because Psalms 1 and 3, it said, he is like a tree planted beside streams, a tree that produces fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither. He succeeds in everything that he does. Now, I want to bring that out a little bit because that is in Psalms 1 and 3. It's Old Testament, but there's reference to it in the New Testament also. I'll bring that out to you in just a moment. Now, In Psalm 3, it says, a tree planted beside streams, a tree that produces fruit in season, and it's ripe fruit, and it's good fruit, and it's fruit that's beneficial to everybody that comes by that tree. Now, the scripture says that that tree will not die or dry up. Why? Because it's planted by a stream or a water source. What is our water source? Our water source in the spirit is the Holy Ghost, is Jesus Christ. As long as we are connected to that source and our roots are deep in that source, then we will never die spiritually. Our soul will never die. This outward body, this flesh body, will perish. It will go away. But that spirit part of us, our soul man, will never die. Why? Because it is enrooted in the waters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the waters of the Holy Ghost. It's constantly being fed, regardless of the situation, regardless of what's happening around it. See, a tree that's planted by waters and its roots go deep. Its roots go deep past the surface of the water. It goes deep. And many times in many trees, the root actually goes down and go out into the stream or out into the river or out into the lake. But you see, you don't see that because you only see the tree that's above the water. But when a person is rooted and grounded in Christ, you will see just the outward appearance, but you will know that that person is growing strong and deeply rooted in Christ by his fruit, by what comes out of him, by what he says, by his action, by what he does, you see. And that's all involved in the righteous judgment of God. Why am I saying that? Because it's saying it right there in Psalms 1. And now I want to bring out something to you. It says in Proverbs 12 and 12, it says, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. So it's going to yield fruit and good fruit. And what is that fruit? Bring it out. That fruit is your character in what you do. That fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. That's what that is. That fruit is the fruit that will cause goodness and kindness and gentleness and love, meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what that fruit should be. That's what should come out of you. That's the fruit that the Lord is talking about. That's the fruit that the Word of God is talking about. It is your character, your godly character. And see, God is judging all of those things. That's why it says righteous judgment. Because God deals with all of that. Now, another portion of Scripture says, John 15 and 5 says, this is Jesus talking, say, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And then another passage of Scripture, Colossians 1 and 10 reads, that ye might work worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, something that the Word brought out earlier, it says now in the God's Word translation of his word, I'm going to bring out a little bit. It says, blessed the person who does not follow the advice of wicked people. Are you hearing me, believers? I'll say it again. Blessed is the person who does not follow the advice of wicked people. Now, this is in reference to the judgment, the righteous judgment of God. God is telling us, we as believers in Christ, we should not follow the advice of wicked people. We shouldn't be going off what they say in Hollywood or how they act in Hollywood or the advice that they give in Hollywood. No. 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 I take the path of sinners. One passage of scripture says it standeth in the way of sinners, getting in their way, but in another passage say take the path of sinners. No, we're not even supposed to go where they go. You see? We're not supposed to take their advice. And the reason that I'm saying this that way is because a lot of believers is taking advice of sinners over the word. Or over what their pastors say, or over what bishops say, or what apostles say, or even what the Word of God says. The Word of God says this, but we listen to other folks who say something contrary to the Word of God. And God says, blessed is the person who doesn't do that. So if you're doing those things, God don't consider that you ain't blessed. You're not blessed to Him. When you're doing what the world does, when you're following after the world, we're supposed to meditate on the Word of God. Now, when you get into the meditation, it's in reference to mumbling or reciting over and over. Well, what are you mumbling and reciting? You're mumbling and reciting over and over what? The Word of God. That's what you're doing. You know how you used to memorize different poems and things like that, or you're studying for a test and you're mentioning it and you're saying it over and over again, you're reciting it over and over again so it can be a part of your mind and a part of your being. Well, that's what you do in the Lord. You meditate on the things of God. You don't clear your mind. You don't clear your mind and have it empty. No, you fill it with the Word of God. And when you fill that with the Word of God and you study God's Word, then that righteous judgment of God is going to have a positive effect in your life. Because He's going to continue to remind you of His Word. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. It reminds you and points you of the Word as a teacher and a guide, and it keeps you straight in the things of God. But then God speaks in references to His people, but He's such a righteous God that He deals with everybody righteously. And that's something that the world have a problem with because they feel that they can pull the wool over God. And they feel that they're smarter than the Lord. And that's basically what it says in Psalms 2. Say, why do the nations, and this is the God's Words translation, they say, why do the nations gather together? Why do their people devise useless plots? Kings take their stands. When it says kings take their stands, or kings set themselves in array, what it means is the people and the nations of the world actively want to fight against God. They want to throw off God. They want to throw off the people of God. They want to throw off the Word of God physically. Physically, you see. They feel that they can overtake and overpower the Lord. They feel that the Word of God is not divine. They feel that when you hear people saying that God doesn't exist and God is not real, what they're doing, they're trying to overthrow God. But that is an impossibility because God is, as He said, I am that I am. I mean, we don't even have the vocabulary to adequately describe God or His power or His knowledge. There's no words that can describe God. Really, there's no words that can really describe our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ or the Holy Ghost. So how are we going to defeat a power like that? You can't do it. But God says, look at this here. I'm going to bring this out a little bit. He says, rulers make plans together against the Lord and against his Messiah by saying, let's break apart their chains and shake off their ropes. We don't want to have anything to do with the Lord. And that's kind of what's happening right now all over the world. And then at the same time, while they are throwing off God and plotting against God and our Savior, the enemy is coming in and eating them alive. Why? Because they don't have any power to stop the enemy, because all of their power is just like what I said in the Word, is by and through Jesus Christ. You see what it says in John 15 and 5? It says, for without Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. So how are you going to defeat the enemy or Satan or the one that's telling you to try to fight God? How are you going to defeat him at all? He's deceiving you because he knows if you turn to God, you can defeat him. Who is the him? It's the devil. It's the enemy. But as long as you're believing that God doesn't exist, as long as you're throwing God out of everything in your life, as long as you're saying that the word of God is not real, as long as you're saying that God is not God, then the devil can do to you what he wants to, because you have absolutely no power at all against him. You can't fight the devil with your mind. You can't defeat the devil with knives and bullets. You can't defeat the devil with your knowledge. He'll destroy you. But you can defeat him in Christ. You can defeat him with the word of God. You can defeat him with the Holy Ghost operating in your life. That's the only way you're going to have true victory. That's the only way you're going to stand before the living God without fear, because you are a child of the King. You are a child of God. Jesus Christ is alive in you. And that's what God sees. He sees the righteousness of Christ in you. But we are talking about the righteous judgment of God. What does that entail? What does that include? What does that mean? Well, basically, it means that God has set, I'll say it again, God has set everything in order. He is the righteous judge, or he is the one that can judge righteously. He's the only one, because he knows everything. And since he knows everything, and he created you, did you hear what I said? God created you. God created all mankind. And when he created all mankind, he created all mankind in the image of him, body, soul, and spirit, to have somewhat of the character of God, that God might place his spirit within us so that we can be more like him and have dominion over the earth and the creatures of the earth, but not dominion over man. That's where man messes up, because he wants to dominate other men, and God will judge you for that. You treat other men in righteousness and in love and kindness, according to the word of God. You see, that's what we do. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. That's what we do. Now let's go a little further in this. It says that the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord makes fun of him. Then he speaks to them in his anger. Now, when it says God laughs, or he makes fun of them, or he mocks them, actually what's actually going on is when these people who do not want to have anything to do with God, individuals who won't repent, individuals who have kicked God out of everything, when they fall in calamity and when the trouble comes and they call on God, God ain't hearing them. He's not. That's what it means when they say he laughs or he mocks them, because he's not hearing them. He's doing like this. It's like this. I'll give you an example. You used to say, "Oh Lord, oh Lord." He say, "Oh Lord, oh Lord, help me, Jesus." He say, "Help you." Yeah, I'll help you. All right. When you gonna repent? When you gonna repent? When you gonna seek my face and righteousness? When you gonna treat your brother right? When you gonna stop all these abominations? When you gonna accept me back in your life? When you gonna read the word? When you gonna accept my son Jesus Christ, who died for you on the cross and made a way for your salvation? When you gonna do those things? See, people seem to believe that you can be somebody who has absolutely no relationship with the Lord at all. You don't even know God. You don't even know Christ. You don't even know the word. You don't know anything. Yeah, you don't know anything about God at all, but you feel that you can call on him and he should answer. But that's not what the word says. And we're talking about the righteous judgment of God. That's what we're talking about. But I believe in the scripture said, "Know ye not that God hears the cries of sinners?" He does not hear the prayers of sinners that way. Now, some people believe, well, I mean, God hears my prayers. I'm a Satanist, but God hears my prayers. I'm a cult worshiper, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob hears my prayers. He hears your prayer of repentance. Now, I'm going to say this. He might hear it, but he's not responding to you. Somebody else might be responding to what you're saying. You better check who's hearing you and who's responding to what you're saying when you're not saved and you know you don't have a relationship with God. We're talking about righteous judgment. But I'll say this to you. Whenever you repent, whenever you sincerely accept the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you accept the fact that he is the Son of God and that God has raised him from the dead, and you're saved, God hears all of your prayers. And he not only hears them, but he seeks to, and he answers them. It may not be the way you want, but he answers them in a way that you will be blessed and you will be strengthened and you will grow stronger in the way of the Lord. We're talking about God's righteous judgment on tonight. And we have to bring all this into it because a lot of folks don't understand him because they don't read his word. They don't read the word of God. They don't meditate on God's word. Because in this righteous judgment, we're going to find out that the Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will reign over the earth. He will be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He will rule everything that can be ruled. He will reign over everything. But I want to bring out a few more things to you, and we have about 5 minutes, and then we'll be closing it out. It says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord makes fun of them. Then he speaks to them in his anger. In his burning anger, he terrifies them by saying, I have installed my own king on Zion, my holy mountain. I'm going to say this to all the rulers out there, the kings, the princes, the presidents. The true ruler and the true king is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God has given him that position, and he is the true king. Everybody will have to bow the knee to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ one day. And it really, whether you believe it or not, you will have to answer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you do answer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you're going to experience God's righteous judgment. You see, because you can't pull the wool over his eyes. You can't give him an excuse. When you were on the earth, you plotted against him and you perished with that same mindset. You can't get up there and say, well, I didn't know what I was doing, or so-and-so told me, instructed me to do this. No, that's not going to work.
Every man for himself.
Every person was to stand before God on his own two feet. Are you all hearing me out there? God is a righteous judge, and his judgment is always righteous. His word is always right. His doings are always right. There's no error in him. So now is the time that you have to make it right in him. Now is the time of a repentance. Now is the time to seek the face of the Lord. Now is the time to make it right with him. Now is the time to accept our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Savior, meaning that you acknowledge what he did on the cross, meaning that you acknowledge who he is, meaning that you acknowledge the word of the living God, meaning that you acknowledge and that you keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what he said. We don't have to go through all that. You know what his commandments are. And that's what we're going to, matter of fact, we're going to bring that out in a study, the commandments of the living God. We're going to go into that and bring that out. But we only have a couple of minutes left, and we're getting ready to close the program out. But I want all of you all to consider God's righteous judgment and where you stand now. Because right now, while you're alive, is the space that you have to make it right with God. So we're going to close now. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your subject that you gave us, God's righteous judgment. Father God, I ask that you touch all your people out there that's listening. Give them, Father God, revelation of your word that they may use it for their betterment so that they can be strengthened in you, Father. Father God, we ask that you touch their hearts and their minds, Lord. We come against all spirits of depression, oppression, and we ask that you bless them and keep them in God's will. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. There you go.